This is New Media Beat on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm John DeLisa.
And I'm Tylin Lassane. This week we have media news from China, Japan, South Korea, Australia, Canada, Sweden, Denmark, and France.
From China.
Are influencers being censored in China? Social media celebrity influencers with massive followings are sharing images of their wealthy lifestyles. The Communist Party is concerned about the cultural impact of wealth on social media. Why are the lifestyles of the internet rich and famous a threat in China?
From Japan, the land of manga, anime, and J-pop.
What can the Japanese government do to promote the export of cultural content to a global market? Their plan is called Cool Japan. Can the government make the image of Cool Japan around the world?
From South Korea, the land of K-pop and bibimbap.
Is South Korea a friendly place for the LGBTQ plus people? What about the media? How open are the media in South Korea to queer people? Are there gay characters in K-dramas? What about advertising? Is South Korea ready for images of gay pride?
From Australia.
Can the Australian government protect young Aussies from social media? Should there be age restrictions on social media for teens? Is this ban about protecting mental health or social control?
From Canada.
Can Ontario keep phones out of schools? Is too much screen time in social media a danger to Canadian school kids?
From Sweden and Denmark.
Who is to blame for youth crime in Scandinavia? Are gangs using platforms like TikTok and Telegram to recruit? Are there other factors? Are social media to blame for violence in Sweden and Denmark? Are they blaming the messaging platforms for a bigger problem? Can regulating social media stop crime?
From France.
Why did France arrest the founder of Telegram, Pavel Durov? What are the charges? What makes Telegram a problem in France? Is arresting a CEO the solution to a social media problem? Is it a free speech issue or a crime control measure?
All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
Let's talk about the politics of social media in China. Last spring, the accounts of many popular lifestyle influencers were locked. Why? These are influencers with millions of followers. This is a profitable business. What were these influencers posting that attracted the attention of the government and led to the censorship of their accounts? Emily Femmeletti is here in Studio A with us to talk about the conflict between the Communist Party-controlled government in China and these celebrity influencers and their followings. Emily, what was so controversial about what these influencers were posting? What does China consider to be wealth-flaunting on social media?
Wealth-flaunting behavior is something that has completely taken over social media platforms. Many influencers use social media as a way to show off their expensive items in life. They show off their high-end cars, designer clothes, bags, even vacations. Some are even doing hauls of their expensive shopping sprees. Basically, wealth-flaunting is showing excessive wealth and luxury. Even though these videos get so many views and some people do enjoy watching this type of content, China wants to take a stance against wealth-flaunting on social media and have influencers promote hard work and equality rather than the get-rich-quick lifestyle.
What can happen to influencers or users who violate the new regulations?
Even though these videos get many views on social media, influencers post content that demonstrates any form of wealth-flaunting will face consequences. Many accounts will be shut down or restricted, which will make many influencers lose views and followers. Even though that might not sound like a huge consequence, many influencers rely on social media for income and brand deals. Without this, many won't make money or have anything to promote.
What effects do influencers have on social media in China?
Influencers in China hold a lot of social power. They create many trends and influence opinions for millions. I can't count the amount of times I've gone on social media and the next thing I knew I was on Amazon buying something. Influencers have that ability. They promote so many different items depending on who their audience is. Because the amount of power influencers have, it is so easy to shape their minds and opinions. And that is why China wants stricter regulations when it comes to wealth flaunting. Some may look at influencers like Bulgonzi and want everything that he has. Some may be jealous or even mad. Social media itself holds so much power, so having these new regulations will hopefully create a more positive environment on social media. For New Media Beat, I'm Emily Femmeletti. Back to you, Tylin.
Thanks, Emily. Let's jump from China over to Japan to talk about the strong connection between the government and the cultural industries in Japan. Japanese media content is a major global export. From manga to anime, J-pop, gaming, film, and television, the Japanese studios are turning out content that is an important export for Japanese economy. Why are Japanese brands of games, movies, and music and publishing so popular with fans around the world? Is it the artists and the entertainment industries? How has the government nurtured the Japan brand of culture and media? Ethan Ford has been learning about the government's Cool Japan plan. Ethan, can you give us an introduction to the Cool Japan plan? What is Cool Japan?
Cool Japan is a new strategy being implemented by the Japanese government. To quote the Japanese cabinet, Cool Japan consists of Japanese culture and products such as animations, manga, characters, and games, and how they are a soft power for Japan.
How did Cool Japan start, and what is its purpose?
Well, Cool Japan started back in 2010 with the Japanese Ministry of Economy, Trade, and Industry. According to Automaten, the goal of the plan is to promote the media formats included within it.
Why is the plan being revised now? What is changing?
Back in 2022, Cool Japan Fund took a major loss with a 30.9 billion yen deficit from poor investing. According to the Asahi Shimbun, companies it was investing in, like Anime Consortium and Waka Waka Japan, went under, so it's a necessity now for revision.
Why are working conditions so poor for animators in Japan?
Well, according to Yuso Yosoki, a senior economist at the NHK sites from the Japan Research Institute, the investors pay for the anime to get made, but they retain all the distribution and copyright, so the studios don't benefit financially, and in turn, neither do the animators. Even if it's a big hit overseas and makes a lot of money, due to the low pay for animators, most can't afford rent or even support themselves.
Is it possible for Cool Japan to succeed with the wages that animators and studios are receiving? Or will this plan force Japan to create a more fair and equitable work environment for the creators and its exports?
Well, with the way the system is currently set up, I don't think the plan will succeed without making any major structural changes to the way animators and studios are paid. You can only work your employees so much before they break. And people need, good living conditions and salaries to support themselves and keep themselves going. So I think ultimately it's going to force Japan's hand and to changing, working policies for its animators. For New Media Beat, I'm Ethan Ford. Back to you, Tyler.
Thank you, Ethan. South Korea is another major player in world media. How does the popularity of K-media create tensions in Korean culture?
In South Korea, Victoria Lapkowitz has been doing research for New Media Beat. How LGBTQ+ friendly are the media in South Korea? What about South Korean culture? Is it open to the voices and images of LGBTQ+ people? Victoria, was there a news story or event that drew you to this topic?
Yes, there happened to be an ad that has been recently removed. It was featuring an LGBTQ+ dating app, and people happened to be, offended, and they happened to remove the ad to appease the public outrage.
Oh, so how does the removal of a recent dating app and reflect on how South Korea sees the LGBTQ+ community?
Despite the rise in LGBTQ+ content in K-drama, film, and K-pop, there's data that shows that there's still a large amount of South Koreans who remain uncomfortable with the idea of the LGBTQ+ community because of the country's strong conservative values. The LGBTQ+ community has a hard time in the workplace and even in the military service, which is imposed on men in South Korea.
So how do the LGBTQ+ films help people understand the community?
By showing the LGBTQ characters in a similar light to hetero characters, this can break stereotypes that people may have about the queer community that people may have. It may also show the hardships that are faced by the community, such as discrimination and bullying, as well as other forms of harassment. The show may show how characters work through their struggles that people may be able to relate to. There happen to be a lot of people, especially teens and young adults, who struggle with their sexuality. So having a good example of how to deal with difficult situations could, in a healthy manner, could be life-changing for some people.
So why does representation matter in K-dramas?
As South Korea is a conservative country, having LGBTQ plus people in K-dramas may shift their perspective on how they view the community. In South Korea, the LGBTQ plus community happens to still be viewed as a disabled community. They happen to be thought as people who have mental problems.
How could the government tracking military men through dating apps be a problem?
The idea of military tracking people because of their sexuality is a human rights problem. People who get caught going against the act happen to be imprisoned for up to 2 years. It also publicly shames people because of their sexuality, and it publicly outs them even though they may not want to come out yet.
And how come the LGBTQ plus content sometimes gets censored in South Korea?
Because of the strong community views, of conservative views, there happened to be censorship showing in about 2022, the New Year's Eve, they censored a part of Lady Gaga's Born This Way song because of their South Korea's difficulty accepting the community. If government happens to impose these very harmful views, and I would believe that it influences the community as well.
Thanks, Victoria. Jesse Manuel is here to talk about Australian media. The government is worried about the effects of social media on children. The government is planning a social media age limit for kids. What problems will that solve? Will it work? What do the kids have to say about this? Jesse, what is the age restriction, and how does the government explain the need for it?
The government is planning a social media age limit because they have concerns about the safety and wellness for young people. Basically, there's more cons than pros.
So why is Australia considering age restrictions on social media?
Kids are exposed to things like cyberbullying, and also they have a strong dependency on social media, which then they spend most of their time reflecting their self-worth based on fake life they perceive.
And who would enforce the ban?
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will be running the age verification trial.
What are the pros and cons of an age restriction on access to social media?
Pros would be that the children will have improved self-worth, that they'll spend more time off their phones and probably go outside, and they could have real connections with people. Cons would be they will have a decline in social connectedness and communication online, and they would have a decline in awareness and knowledge of the technology they use.
Is this age restriction enforceable?
Yes, they will have things like ID verification when they use it, and also they will be using AI.
Will this age restriction limit young people's access to current events, support systems, and instructional materials?
This will lead to children to use less regulated non-mainstream services, according to Australia's own internet regulator, the eSafety Commissioner, as well as the lack of knowledge from the outside world. For New Media, I'm Jesse Manuel. Back to you, Joe.
Thanks, Jesse. Let's keep talking about kids and phones and social media with my co-host, Kylan Lassane. The Canadian province of Ontario is also worried about too much screen time too soon. The Education Minister for Ontario has announced a province-wide ban on mobile phones and access to social media platforms in schools. Kylan, how does the ban work and who will affect it? How could less screen time at school help students focus better in class?
Less screen time could help students focus better in class by reducing distractions from social media and non-educational apps. With fewer interruptions, students can pay more attention to lessons and activities. It may also help more active participation and face-to-face interaction.
What might be hard for teachers when they try to limit screen use in schools?
Teachers might struggle to limit screen use because many lessons rely on digital tools and online resources. Enforcing limits can be difficult when students use laptops or tablets for schoolwork. Finding the right balance between using technology and keeping distractions can be a challenge.
How could cutting down social media during school help or hurt students' friendships and well-being?
Cutting down social media during school could help students focus on real-life friendships and improve their mental health by reducing the pressure of constantly checking their phones. However, some students may feel disconnected from their friends if they rely on social media to communicate, especially during breaks.
How can schools make sure students still have access to important online learning tools with screen time limits?
Schools can make sure that students have access to important online tools by setting clear rules for when and how technology should be used. For example, they could allow screens for specific activities like research or group projects, but limit unnecessary browsing or personal use during class. For New Media Beat, I'm Tylan Lassane. Back to you, John.
Thank you, Tylan. Telegram is under attack around the world. Why is this messaging platform so controversial? Why do governments single it out for criticism? In Sweden and Denmark, the platform is accused of facilitating crime. Is Telegram a recruiting tool for gangs?
Old Westbury UA, OWWR, KYWWR. OWWR.
John DeLiso is with us to talk about Telegram and accusations made against the platform in Scandinavia. Are gangs putting ads on Telegram to recruit young people to commit crimes in Sweden and Denmark? Are social media to blame for rising crime statistics, or is it too simple an explanation? What does Telegram say about this? John, who is making the charges and what role are they accusing Telegram of playing in facilitating criminal activity? What is the problem with gangs using social media to recruit new members?
So, in the past year or so, Swedish officials have discovered that Swedish and Danish gang members have been using apps like TikTok and Telegram to recruit young people of lower and middle class status to carry out gang crimes. Swedish gang members have used social media at least 25 times in the past 5 months to recruit young people for violent crime and attacks. This is a big problem because apps like TikTok and Telegram, it's very difficult to figure out who exactly is recruiting these young people. So it makes it even more difficult for the authorities to figure out and catch the gangs.
Is social media the root cause of this type of crime?
So no, there are many different factors that contribute to the rising crime in Sweden and Denmark. Many politicians point blame at the generous asylum laws that Sweden has from other dangerous countries. People also point blame at poor integration of immigrants into society for the rising crime. Sweden has been known to have one of the most relaxed immigration laws in most of Europe, but in the recent years, they've had to significantly cut down on who they're letting into the country because of the increase in crime that they've been having.
Is the government doing anything to prevent this phenomenon?
Yeah, so Sweden and Denmark have been working in conjunction with other Nordic countries like Norway and Finland to increase the police presence. They're establishing a police hub in Stockholm to really crack down on all the gang violence that has been plaguing the country in the past few years. And they're also going to be monitoring a lot more social media to figure out who is carrying out the crimes.
What can social media sites like TikTok and Telegram do to prevent gang recruitment?
So there are many different routes that can be taken to prevent gangs on social media. Enforcement teams can be set up to monitor and find names of accounts who have affiliations with gang. Methods like more useful reporting techniques could also be implemented and taken more seriously. Additionally, users can also be required to provide official identification when signing up for these platforms, which could help make it a lot more easier for the social media companies and for government officials to figure out who exactly is using the platform. And in the event of a law enforcement investigation, it can make it easier to find certain people that are under investigation. For New Media Beat, I'm John DeLiso. Back to you, Tyler.
Thank you, John. We have more news about Telegram and its founder, Pavel Durov. Nelson Benitez is here to give us an analysis of the arrest of Telegram CEO Pavel Durov in France this summer. Is arresting the corporate CEO a solution to a problem with social media? What are the charges? Nelson, is France also worried about the use of Telegram by criminals? What is Telegram doing to moderate these illegal activities?
Telegram at first wasn't really doing anything to really moderate like their media and their social site. That's actually the reason why Duol got arrested in France, because they felt like there was too many illegal activities going on regarding France. So they arrested him in France. And recently, because of the arrest and because of all the issues that's been going on, he's been more open to kind of communicating with the government and just like helping them like moderate the site. He talks about how they're using IP addresses now and phone numbers to authorize like who's like on the site, and anybody who has a possible search warrant, kind of like to help the government validate anybody who's possibly doing illegal activities. So even though at first like he wasn't really like doing much, but like now he's kind of like deciding to help the government and all that, just because like it just benefits him as the CEO of the company with all the bad publicity he's gotten, to kind of just work line in line with the government as well.
Will other countries decide to ban Telegram for the same reasons?
Yeah, so recently it was stated by BBC News that Ukraine banned Telegram in their country, and it was for similar illegal activities. Right now there's 31 countries that have either banned or like prohibited Telegram in some sort of state since 2015. And France might be the latest one, depending like how the trials go, because they're currently in trials. And it's basically for the same reason. Like, Ukraine recently banned it because of the ongoing conflict with Russia, but they also see a lot of illegal activities going on with that platform, so they decided to ban it as well.
What punishment will the French justice system give Telegram? Could they ban Telegram?
So, kind of like I was saying before, he got arrested in August 24th, the CEO, Duol, and they actually placed him under investigation by the French government. He got released on bail now, but like according to Reuters, it says a French judge placed Duol under formal investigation last month, charging him with various crimes, including the 2023 offense complacency in the admission of an online platform to allow illicit transaction and organized crime, which could possibly carry a maximum sentence of 10 years and 500,000 euro fines. So he possibly could face these fines. They're still on trial. Like, it's too early to tell, like, his actual, like, punishment or the social media's punishment. But there's still, like, an ongoing. He could possibly face those fines if they find him guilty for all of the crimes.
Will banning Telegram in France reduce the number of illegal activities?
So I believe that banning Telegram would help monitor and restrict certain use of illegal activities in France and other countries, whatever country decides to ban it. But just like any other country, I feel like there's always just a way to do stuff illegally. Like, even if you set a ban on something, people are always just going to find ways to just find a loophole or just try to find ways to, like, do stuff illegally. So while I feel like it would definitely stricken, like, the grip on, like, the illegal activities that's going on, like, I do feel like it would also still be around, even though, just because, like, people always find a way to do stuff like that.
Does Telegram do enough to ensure that the app is safe for users?
Yeah, so kind of like I was saying before, at first they didn't really do much. They didn't moderate a lot. And this is what caused them to get in trouble in the first place. The lack of security measures also caused the CEO to get arrested. And they kind of declined and denied, like, the low-level restrictions they had at first. But according to Le Monde, which is the French news outlet, they said that until recently, the rules posted on the Telegram website stated that this information was transmitted to the courts only in case of terrorism. Now, the same page specifies that if you are a suspect in a case involving criminal activities that also violate Telegram's rules, we will conduct a legal analysis of the court's request and may disclose IP addresses and phone numbers to relevant authorities. So he was arrested as part of the investigation, the CEO. because of the lack of cooperation with the justice system, but because of the custody that he's been in and, like, the legal issues he's been in recently, they kind of changed their stance and forced them to do more to ensure, like, more protection and more safety is there just so that people can be on the platform and not have to worry about illegal activities going on. So, yeah. For New Media B, I'm Nelson Benitez, and back to you, Tylen.
Thank you, Nelson. That's it for this week. John?
Thanks to our co-producers, Gabby Gambuza and John Abis for coffee. Our engineer is Jaden Nunez. My co-host is Tylen Lassane. Thanks, Tylen.
Thanks, John. Today we heard reports from Nelson Benitez, John DeLiso, Emily Femmeletti, Ethan Ford, Victoria Lapkowitz, Tylen Lassane, and Jesse Manuel.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post at newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's OWWRGMN.